Now, while all these things were going on, the Lord Jesus was being tried at the Sanhedrin Council. Right? So this was outside the home of the high priest. Right? And this is important for us to understand how this works. Now, this story is about the denial of the Lord, of Peter, the chief disciple of all the others. Okay, so Matthew 26, 69 to 75. First, we need to take a look at what the Lord warned. Right? Now, this is very important. So the Lord's warning, and this was stated earlier in the same chapter, Matthew 26. Right? And this is absolutely vital for us. From 31 to 35, this is after the Lord's Supper, and this is something that was going to be done. And this is important for us that he warns his disciples. Then the Lord said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. It is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, this was already something that had been said to the disciples. Right? Something that we need to consider very carefully. How do we understand this? And as we look at these things here, we look at, this is actually a prophecy from the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. Right? So this was already predicted. This was already forewarned. This was already prophesied. This is forewarned. Now, but the Lord Jesus Christ went on further to say, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now, these are exact words. I will go before you to Galilee. So this was not going to be the end. Right? And then Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Now, Peter was very adamant about what he felt. He thought the Lord was wrong. And of course, if he thought the Lord was wrong, then the Zechariah's prophecy will also be wrong. And he didn't think through what he said, but he said it anyway. He blurted out, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. So he distinguished himself from the rest. Right? Maybe they are weak. Maybe they can be easily scattered. Maybe they will deny you. But me, no way. I am not going to be made to stumble at any way, at any time. Well, here the Lord Jesus went on to say to him, didn't want to argue, but he said, assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now that is going to be a very big statement to swallow. Right? And so Peter replied and said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Mm-hmm. Now, those are brave words. Those are good words. Those are stirring words. Those are words of love, full of passion, of love for the Lord, which is all good. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. The question is, how do we understand all of these things here? Right? So Peter's response was important. I will never deny you. I will die with you. You know, that's basically what he's saying. And all of them said the same thing. So this is what happened. Of course, the rest are not going to allow Peter to be the champion there. He's different from the rest. Peter thinks that he can, the rest cannot. And so they came back and said, look, not only you can, we also can. We are not going to deny the Lord. Can you just imagine, literally, as if there's a bit of rivalry between Peter and all the rest. And this was a bit of a turmoil there for a while. Nevertheless, the Lord warned Peter. Okay, now the question is, who's going to be right? What's going to happen next? And Matthew was very candid, very open, very honest concerning what happened. Well, first, we look at the three denials. Did the three denials take place? Yes. Right? So let's look at very carefully. First, in the courtyard of the high priest. Now it's late, it's at night time, it's cold, and Peter went to warm himself. Right? So there we go. And a servant girl came along and pointed Peter out and said that he was a disciple. Right? So we read in verse 69, a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee. That was a direct accusation. Immediately he denied it before them all. I do not know what you are saying. Right? Basically, well, he's not saying anything. He's not in his mind, well, I'm not really denying the Lord. Right? I didn't mention his name. I am just saying to this young lady there, I do not know what you are saying. Is that denial? Technically, yes. But literally, well, we are not talking of the same thing because there is no mention of anything further. But so Peter is just trying to get out of the whole thing by saying very clearly, I do not know what you are saying. So I don't have to answer you. I don't know what you're talking about. You're not clear. I am not going to commit myself to something which I am not clear about. But this was a denial, no question about it. Now, here comes the second time. And in verse 71, we read, when he had gone out to the gateway, right? So now they are what we call inner court and outer court. So the gateway is between the outer court and the inner court. And so Peter was there, and there we go. And so here was another one. Another girl came, saw him, and said to those who were there, right? Twice now. This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth, right? First one, Jesus of Galilee, general location. Jesus of Nazareth, specific location. Nazareth is a part of Galilee, right? But in a small town. And the Lord Jesus was now denied again. This time, Peter was quite specific. I do not know the man. Right? This was obviously a reference to Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus of Galilee. And this time, instead of saying, I do not know what you are saying, now he went on further to say, I do not know the man. Now, that is an obvious denial. Now, a little while later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, because there were a lot of people around the place, right? There would be soldiers around the place. There would be guards around the place. There would be servants around the place because here we have a servant girl. There was another servant girl. But this time, it was a group of them, and they came to Peter, and they said, surely you also are one of them. How do we know? Your speech betrays you. You see, the Galileans were not very high in society's ladder. They were not high-class people. They were just very common-class people. Those who live in Jerusalem, they tend to be more educated. They come from more genteel families. They have rich backgrounds. So when they speak, you can tell from their accent whether they are coarse or they are refined people, whether they are humble rural people or they are city-born and bred. Straight away, they recognize by the accent of Peter, they recognize he must be from Galilee, if not from Nazareth, right? But it is the same region they accused Peter of following the Lord Jesus. Now, this is where we read, he began to curse and swear. Now, that kind of behavior is actually typically Galilean, right? Typically Galilean. So that's how they know the way Peter denies, the way people avert questions, the way Peter is antagonistic, the way Peter was behaving himself. Straight away, they recognize this is a Galilean. And so they accuse him as such, that he was one of the followers, because the greatest bulk of followers actually came from Galilee. And then says, your speech betrays you. Now, finally, Peter said, I do not know the man. Right? The idea of do not know the man, not that he does not have general knowledge. The word know here literally refers to the fact that there is a closeness of a teacher-student, a teacher-disciple relationship kind of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is a special relationship, a special link between the Lord Jesus and his disciples. And they caught that, and this is something which they wanted to accuse Peter of. At that point of time, after when he said the third time, I do not know the man, he denied the Lord Jesus the third time. We read, immediately a rooster crowed. Now, that's what the Lord warned. So it's an early morning rooster crowing, and there he was. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Suddenly, all that the Lord Jesus had said and meant came back, and he was hit by such a big blow right now, and he wept bitterly. Right, so now we're going to take a little bit of time to ask ourselves, now that we know that, what did the tears mean? Now I can list a lot of things what the tears mean, and I think we all can understand Peter here. Right? There is no need to kick somebody who is already down. So let's try to understand Peter. What is it that he must have felt? And it's not a single reason. Tears in a man is seldom one single reason. And I came up with a lot of things that we could look at possibly and to understand why suddenly he burst into tears instead. It's not because he was like a little girl. It's just that there's so many conflicting thoughts that were there, right? So one, you can imagine when we are angry, sometimes we are just angry with ourselves. And Peter was angry with himself. I can make a long list of things here. One, angry because I'm weak. Weakness. Pride comes in. That's why the Lord, at the Lord's word, with citing a prophecy, Peter was too proud to accept that this could happen. But his pride got in the way, and he says, it's never going to happen, and he says, I'm prepared to die with you. Don't talk about denying you, because it's not going to happen. Right? Then comes the sense of shame that is there. Shame because this is said before all the other disciples. He was their acknowledged de facto leader. And then suddenly, he is the one who has denied the Lord Jesus so vehemently. So shame would come in, a sense of failure would be there. And then that moment, the horror of what he had done would hit him. Then comes guilt, then despair, and you can imagine disgust, right? With himself, because just a few hours ago, he had said that he would be faithful, he would be true, even if everybody else were to abandon the Lord Jesus, he never would. And there he was, denying the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But you can also imagine that his anger is not just directed at self, it's also directed at all the things around. One, the Sanhedrin Council. How could they have done this? These are the leaders they had regarded and respected, and yet they did this terrible thing. Look at the crowds. Many of them, they've seen the Lord Jesus, had been blessed by him, had received things from him, and suddenly the very people had been whipped up to go against the Lord Jesus. The multitudes, right? So now we are looking at a mixture of people, right? So there would be servants, there would be people on the outside, there will be people milling around. So you just look at all the different types of people around. And no one had stood up for the Lord Jesus at any time. And that's a sad reality. After all that he had done, nobody responded as they should. And, you know, as we look at this short story, we ask ourselves what lessons we must ponder over. To me, one of the biggest lessons is to realize that all of us face the danger of denying the Lord. This is something I fear very much within my own heart, that one day I might betray the Lord, I might deny the Lord. So I take steps to guard myself against this. Two, I want to take steps to fortify myself, to build a stronger mindset, to build a stronger spirit, to build a stronger faith, so that if under tremendous pressure, I still want to be as faithful as I possibly can to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this would mean that I need to build up my courage and my strength to withstand all kinds of tests and temptations. And may God grant grace and mercy. May we all be found faithful to the Lord to the very end. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that we have read. We pray that you will teach us how to examine our hearts, not to be overconfident in ourselves, but to ask for that grace and mercy to be given to us each day, to cultivate a faith, cultivate a strength, cultivate a courage as well. We pray for your grace and your mercy. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.